Hello, Pittsburgh and beyond. How Yins doing? Welcome to episode 6 of Yins Are Good. I am your host, Tressa Glover. And I do hope Yins are doing well. I know that they continue to be, I don't want to say uncertain times, because I feel like we've heard that word a lot over the last 7-8 months or so, but obviously challenging times. So I hope you all are doing well and keeping hope alive in your lives and helping each other out whenever you can. This podcast celebrates the good stuff happening out there and the good people who are making that good stuff happen. So please keep your stories and your thank yous to people coming. You know the number, or if you don't, 1-833-399-GOOD. Or send an email to yinsaregood@gmail.com. We're going to get those stories on the air. I have two quick announcements to begin. First of all, we have a website. Woohoo! It is www.yinsaregood.com. That is Yins Are Good, all spelled out. Not like a Toys R Us situation. We're going for Yins, A-R-E, Good. So take a look. We'll be posting more information as we go along on that site. And announcement number two, we have an Instagram account. It's true. Yins Are Good. So please be sure to follow us. We'll be posting pics and videos as we move along here. We have a great episode ahead for you today. Not only do we have some stories and some shout out thank yous going out to some very good people. We have an interview that I did with Casey McGill of Pittsburgh Restaurant Workers Aid, a fabulous organization. And I'm really looking forward to sharing my interview with Casey with you. We will talk about the organization, of course, but then also ways that you can help. There are volunteer opportunities to help them out. So I'm actually calling that kind of a twofer, a combo of our Yins or Spotlight and also How Can We Help Yins, which I believe is going to be the official title of that segment where we share ways that we can help our people in our communities. So without further ado, let's get started. Our stories and shout-outs this episode are all related to some of the hardest working among us, teachers. I put a call out, if you will, on social media asking people to share if there was a teacher in particular who inspired them, who encouraged them, changed their life for the better. We heard from Sheila, who mentioned three teachers who inspire their students in particular: Deborah Sachs, Megan McClure-Reed, and Jessica Savitz. We heard from Pasquale, who lives in Braddock Hills. Pasquale wrote, "Mrs. Paravati, my eighth grade English teacher." We heard from Karen, who says, "My seventh grade teacher, Sister Eileen, being given amazing novels by her, hearing her, quote, scandalous teenage stories, and realizing nuns are people. And that Sister Eileen thought the Bible was not exact true stories, just a guide / moral stories based on some truth." We also heard from Kristen, who actually, I believe, lives in West Hollywood, California, but I'll allow it. Because I love what she shared, of course. And Kristen shares, "My English lit teacher in eighth grade, Mr. Eisenstate. He was very crazy, very encouraging. I ended up writing A+ stories, but he would give me an A- and say, 'Anderson, why don't you learn how to spell?' My music and acting teachers also." And a story that hits a little closer to home for me: not long after I had posted this on social media, I received a text from my niece, Angelina, who's currently a freshman in college. And she said, "Aunt Tressa, I'm going to send you an email about one of my teachers from high school." And I said, oh my gosh, wonderful. I cannot wait to read it and share it. So this email comes from Angelina.
Hello, my name is Angelina, and I went to Mount Lebanon High School and graduated in the year 2020. Throughout those 4 years, I had multiple teachers who taught me. Most of them I enjoyed because they loved what they were doing and loved their students as well. One teacher that specifically stood out to me was Dr. Gullo, who taught environmental science my junior year. At first, he came off as a scary guy, and I thought he would never make it onto my list of favorite teachers. Then one day, it clicked. I had not completed a homework assignment for that class, and he kept me after class to ask why and what was really going on. Not one teacher had ever done that, so I started to cry and told him some things. He told me, there's life outside the classroom. And ever since that day, he would check in on me to make sure I was okay. Senior year, my friends and I would visit his classroom to say hi and talk to him about our lives, and he would check in with me to make sure I was okay. Sometimes I would go to him individually and vent to him because all I wanted was for someone to just listen, and he did. He was also passionate about what he was teaching, environmental science, so it was easy to follow along with his class junior year. I never had a teacher like him. I am thankful, and I hope he continues to do the same thing.
Angelina, I hope he does too. And consider this an open call, an ongoing call, I should say. If at any time, specifically, you want to share a story about a teacher who changed your life, inspired you in some way, please do at any time. You know, I think something that can happen is the further away we get from our schooling years, you know, as the years, decades go by, sometimes they can fade in our memory a bit. Sometimes they don't, though. Sometimes they're right up there in the front, and we are always remembering what they did for us. And maybe it's time to put it out there for other people to hear as well. In either case, consider this an ongoing call to thank the very important teachers in our lives. So thank you to those who have shared your stories with the rest of us, and to Deborah Sachs, Megan McClure Reed, Jessica Savitz, Mrs. Paravati, Sister Eileen, Mr. Eisenstate, and Dr. Gullo. Thank you. Yins are good. And here we are. It's our Yins are spotlight / how can we help Yins? So let's talk a little about the restaurant and hospitality business, specifically jobs in that industry. So we are all well aware of how drastically different that world is now compared to, say, February of this year. And actually, just a few weeks ago, on October 2nd, 2020, the Bureau of Labor and Statistics released this national figure that employment in food services and drinking places is 2.3 million lower than in February. Now, jobs have been added since April, which is a good sign, but we are still 2.3 million lower than we were in February across the nation. And of course, there are many Pittsburghers who are counted in this number. So, Casey McGill and Taylor Stesney co-founded Pittsburgh Restaurant Workers Aid, which provides resources and community support to restaurant and hospitality workers who have lost financial, housing, food, and healthcare security. So I talked with Casey about the organization and the volunteer opportunities within it.
Hello!
Hello! Well, it's so nice to meet you.
Yes, thank you so much for having us on. I'm excited to talk a little bit about Pittsburgh Restaurant Workers Aid.
Yes, we're excited to hear you. So why don't we start if you just want to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, so I'm Casey McGill, pronouns they, them. I am a restaurant worker. I've been working in the restaurants in multiple Pittsburgh restaurants for like 4 years. My first job was at Rita's Italian Ice in Maryland. In the beginning of the year, when the shutdown occurred on March 15th, we almost immediately what do we do? We don't have a safety net. So we built a community from scratch to support each other in a massive time of need. The restaurant community has always been like a community that struggles financially and sometimes paycheck to paycheck, tips earned that day. I always say I was a barista at one of my jobs. There were multiple days where I needed to earn a certain amount of tips to literally drive my car to my house. We've always been in a financial situation. When the shutdown occurred, we immediately started helping each other out. Our biggest need was delivering care packages, food, resources, diapers, cleaning products was a huge one, especially when we first started. And a lot of folks, for various reasons, could not leave their homes. So we started this massive distribution center. So it started on my porch in Bloomfield for a week.
Nice.
Yes. And that was a lot. City Councilwoman Deb Gross helped us out, and we were able to hang out in the Irma Freeman Center using donated space for a couple months, which was amazing. Thank you so much, Jack and Brett, for helping us and letting us pretty much live there. And then now we are currently operating out of Black Radish Kitchen, their catering space in Point Breeze. We are in like this really nice warehouse. They're helping us so much with like refrigeration space. And Millie's just gave us like their old, but it's a year old refrigerator, so we could, you know, properly keep like produce overnight before we send it out to our restaurant workers. So it's been just like really amazing. We currently serve around 100 restaurant families on a consistent weekly basis.
How did you reach out to all of these others? And I know that, is it true you also have collaborations with 412 Food Rescue? Yeah. and several others, I know. So what on your end did you do to kind of bring all these groups together to help?
Yeah, so I mean, one of the greatest things about the restaurant community is we're already pretty close knit, and we are, our nature is to get through a busy shift. And we know that in order to do that, we have to count on everyone to pull their weight so we can get through that busy shift. So when this all happened, the like community really came together. I have previous relations with 412 Food Rescue. I've volunteered with them, and they're fantastic folks. So I pretty much just messaged them like, do you have anything that we can use so we're able to give it to restaurant workers? And through that, they like got us hooked up on the Corona Food Assistance Program through the summer, which just provided like a decent amount of produce, and we were able to supplement the produce with like canned goods, bread, some like meals as well. So it's been really just through word of mouth. The Western Pennsylvania Diaper Bank helped us out through the summer, which was fantastic. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks don't realize that restaurant workers have families. Over 40% of the folks that are in our like aid, that receive aid consistently, have little ones that they support. So I learned a lot about diapers. I'm still learning a lot about diaper sizes. And so we are like, that's honestly something that we least consistently have, but we actually have an IOB page in our backyard, which is a really great crowdfunding nonprofit that helps you really generate a fundraising goal, learn how to really crowdfund appropriately to your neighbors and your communities. So we have a page right now called Full Bellies for Restaurant Workers. A generous donor, every dollar is matched, which is amazing. And we're just going to buy a bunch of kids' foods, and we're going to buy like diapers with that. And it's just so, right now, I think we're almost at $8,000 that we've raised, which is just incredible.
That's incredible. Yeah.
just for the kids. And just to make sure, like, it's Halloween season. We want to make sure that they're looking by, like, Halloween candy. I mean, an appropriate amount. We want to do that. And just, like, be, I mean, we're in a pandemic. We want to have a little bit of fun because it's kind of bleak sometimes.
Right. And inject some normalcy where we can, right? If we can.
So I think, like, with that being said, it's just, we started as a mutual aid group, which I mentioned. Our mutual aid group, like, was incredibly helpful during the first month, but we almost immediately tapped out of, like, our mutual aid because restaurant workers can only support restaurant workers for a certain amount of time because we were experiencing the same thing. So the outpour of community support from the Pittsburgh community, some local nonprofits like 412 Food Rescue, Greater Pittsburgh Food Bank have just been amazing and just really fantastic to be able to supplement some of, like, our needs through those channels.
It's so uplifting to hear all of this, to hear about all of the hands and all of the people. And I actually did a food delivery from your distribution center. And so it's just incredible. And I say that because I think our listeners would be interested to know, of course, about this volunteer aspect of how they can help. And please feel free to mention other ways they can help as well.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for doing a delivery.
I actually took my dog. I took our dog with me. And she was, so she's in the back seat. Like, she was my helper. It was
That's
great.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's really great. So we have consistent weekly deliveries, Tuesdays through Saturdays at our distribution center, which is in Point Breeze, 6091 Lynn Way. We have been, so when you're doing a distribution delivery, all you need is a mask, a car, and just like 1 hour to 2 hours of volunteer time. We bring, you'll select a route. We have routes from all over Allegheny County. And a organizer will bring down all the goodies that we're about to bring and help the the delivery driver from a socially distance, at least 6 feet away and wearing a mask. And we usually send it through text. Folks go on their way, text all the recipients, put it on their porch. We've had, again, thousands of deliveries throughout Allegheny. We've delivered to Ohio before.
Oh, really?
We had a delivery once upon a time to near Ohio Pile, and it was just like a fun, like, who wants to spend their weekend in Ohio Pile and also take a delivery to this folk in Farmington? And people loved it. So that's a definite way to get involved in our organization. If folks are interested, you can email us at info@pghrwa.org. And we will hook you up with the schedule. It usually starts at like 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. And that's like the best way. We also do phone banking. And when we do that, we just check in with like restaurant workers to see how they're doing. Because as we approach winter months, we just want to continue the communication to just check in on folks. We're going to continue. As I said, I say this like every day, and I will say it every hour. Restaurant workers are the best organizers. We are the best organizers. We can get stuff done. And this is a moment that we need support. So I think like the way that we're doing it is one of the easiest ways to support us right now. And of course, continuing to go to restaurants from a social distance, even if it's takeout, and of course tipping appropriately, because we are working really hard during the pandemic right now.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
If you have any questions or want to get involved in any way, I am open to anyone's volunteer suggestions. And if you want to connect with us, we have all of our social media covered on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
Such a great organization. Be sure to check out our episode page for links where you can request a care package delivery or find out ways to volunteer. And now, it's time for the one, the only, Name That Neighborhood.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Tressie.
Welcome back, Don.
Thank you, Tressa.
All right. How are you feeling this sixth time?
I feel pretty good. We had a good showing last time, I believe. So let's see if we can repeat that.
Audience, you may know how this works. I'm going to give Don his choices. You have three this time.
Okay.
We're back up to three. And Don will, in fact, name that neighborhood that matches up with the fact that I will give him. So the neighborhoods are Braddock Hills. Ooh. Mm. Mount Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's making a return. Or Mount Lebanon, as the voice says on the T.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For the T stop. Those of you from outside the Pittsburgh area, the T is Pittsburgh's version of the subway, basically. Although it reminds me more of the L in Chicago, because it is mostly elevated. We only have a few stops that are actually underground, but that's the T. So, where were we? Braddock Hills, Mount Lebanon, and Point Breeze.
Okay.
Point Breeze, which is the home to Pittsburgh Restaurant Workers Aid, where they're working out of the Black Radish kitchen there. Let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main roads in this neighborhood was originally a trail used by the area's indigenous people to keep watch on enemies.
I'm not very familiar with Braddock Hills or Point Breeze, so I'm going to be guessing a lot this week. I'm going to say Braddock Hills, because hills would be a good place to watch for enemies.
You are correct.
Yay!
Did you like that sound, by the way?
I did. It made me feel special.
Yeah? We got some technical wizardry happening. So this road of which we are speaking is Brinton Road. And the first area of this borough, this was the first area of this borough to be settled along this road. And actually was first settled as Hannahtown. And now, incidentally, the other main road in the area, Braddock Road, you may have heard of it, that road was used by the farmers and the coal miners and was the main link between Braddock Hills and Braddock. So there are these two main roads, and each used for very different purposes. Well, 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 well done.
Thanks.
All right. All right. And now, number two. Oh, we have four, by the way, four facts that we'll be doing today.
Okay.
Number two. The Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary is located in this neighborhood.
Let's go with Mount Lebanon.
Oh, that means you were wrong.
Oh, why is the sound for me being wrong so much longer than the one for me being correct? I'd like to file a complaint with the podcast committee.
Noted. Noted. I'll give you the information to do that. I am so sorry. So it is Point Breeze.
Okay.
Point Breeze. So, yeah, the Reform, or RPTS, as we can abbreviate it, is a ministry of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America and was founded in 1810, making it the fifth oldest seminary in the United States.
Wow.
How about that?
How about
that? Right in Point Breeze. Aww.
I did tell you, I'm not very familiar with Point Breeze or Braddock Hills, so we're going with the gut guesses this week.
Understood. Understood. Number three. You're going to bounce back here. I just know it. A narrow gauge railroad, the Pittsburgh Southern, operated across this neighborhood between 1878 and 1883.
Braddock Hills.
Oh, no! No, it would be Mount Lebanon.
okay.
I think the clue there would be Pittsburgh Southern, maybe, but just because it's in the South Hills, but that's tricky.
Sure, I mean, sure. I should probably pay closer attention to the questions.
Well, I mean, it's a thought. Mm. It's something to think about. Mm-hmm. So the Pittsburgh Southern went through Mount Lebanon on its way toward Washington, PA. It reached Temperanceville, now known as the West End, which I never knew, right? That was its original name, from Banksville.
Hmm.
So through Mount Lebo towards Washington, ended up in the West End, and it went over an inside rail on the standard gauge Little Sawmill Run Boulevard.
Hmm.
Railroad.
Well,
there's a lot of words.
That's a lot you just said.
So, yeah. Okay. Okay. Fourth and final. You got this.
Hmm.
This neighborhood housed a drive-in from 1959 through 1976 called the Ardmore Drive-In.
I'm going with Point Breeze because why not?
Oh no, it's just not a good day.
No.
These are tricky though. I think these are these facts here. Braddock Hills.
Wouldn't suspect a drive-in in the hills. I would think that that would be more on the plains.
Yeah, I understand that. So it was torn down in 1976, right? So went up in 1959. And at that time, it was replaced with a shopping center. However, since 2010, it has actually been occupied by the Propel Braddock Hills Elementary and High Schools.
Hmm.
So definitely some new things learned today.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay?
Oh, I'll be just fine. You can't win them all.
Well said, Don. Thank you so much for joining us again.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
And that will do it for us here. Episode 6 of Yins Are Good. Please keep sharing your stories. Give us a call. 1-833-399-GOOD. Or to yinsaregood@gmail.com. We want to hear your stories. We want to share your stories and your thank yous and your shout outs. I am your host, Tressa Glover. And until next time, be safe, be kind, be good. Special thanks to Casey McGill, Don DiGiulio, and Mike Rubino for our fabulous artwork.